Do keep Matthew chapter 11 open in front of you. We're going to think this morning about Jesus, who is our true rest. Why don't we pray together before we begin? Father in heaven, we praise you today that we can meet together here and that we can learn of you as we open your word and you speak to us. Help us, we pray, to understand all that we're hearing. And please, we pray, move our hearts that we might believe and obey. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if I asked you to describe how you were feeling as you came into church today, I imagine we'd hear a whole host of different stories. Some people, in honesty, come to church today in the middle of very difficult circumstances. Others would be here and life's going pretty well. But no matter what else is going on in everybody's lives, I'm pretty sure all of us would say that we felt tired. Tired and in need of a rest. It's well documented that life in the 21st century is as busy now as it's ever been, with everyone just trying to keep all these different plates spinning all of the time. But more than that, we're also incredibly stressed as a people. We struggle to switch off. We're under an enormous amount of pressure. And if we're really honest, amidst all the busyness, life often feels pretty meaningless. Many now even get tired of doing nothing. And when you're tired, the thing that you need is rest. How often is it the thought of the weekend that gets you through the week? How do you feel at that moment you actually book the holiday for 2 months' time? I wonder how much are you looking forward to your retirement? And rest is good. That Saturday morning line is a beautiful thing if you don't have young children, as I do. The first day of a holiday brings with it, doesn't it, this wonderful sense of relief. And yet, if you're like me, the reality is that the rest we enjoy so often ends up disappointing us. We have these massive expectations for how wonderful our holiday is going to be. But then when we get there, you know, things still go wrong. So the hotel ends up not being quite what you'd hoped it would be. Maybe you end up getting sick, which is not what you wanted. Maybe there ends up being a little conflict in the family while you're there. And even if none of these things are true, I imagine most of us will admit that 3 or 4 days into this holiday we've been longing for, there's just a little bit of disappointment that creeps in about how it's actually turning out. And on top of all that, it comes to an end almost as soon as it started. Before you know it, you're repacking the suitcase you'd packed so quickly before traveling. And then suddenly you're back at home, normal life's rolling, and it feels like the holiday was months ago. Unsurprisingly, many of us are left asking, once we've just come back from a holiday, is there not anything more than this? And into this context, Jesus steps forward this morning, and he makes everyone an offer of genuine rest that won't disappoint. Come to me, he says, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For most people today, I think Jesus is pretty irrelevant, isn't he? Lots of people think maybe in the past we needed God to explain the things we couldn't understand. Or maybe there are some religious people who appreciate him a little bit, but most people, if they're really honest, don't think Jesus has anything to offer that they really want or need. And ultimately, being a Christian just looks like it's going to make me even busier than I was before. Adding to our already overflowing to-do list, taking up more of our already overloaded weekends. And of course, for some today, that really doesn't go far enough. For some, far from bringing rest, Jesus is now seen as someone who causes division, who brings hurt, someone who offends people. Some might even say someone who ruins lives. Many think that. The problem is it's the total opposite of what Jesus actually says. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You see, when you strip it all away, all the religious wrapping, all the churchiness and Christian culture, Jesus is making a free offer to everybody of something we all desperately need. Our big question this morning is, what is it about the rest Jesus offers that makes it any different to the rest that we enjoy in this life? And to understand that, we need to dig down a little bit deeper into this offer that he makes to us. We need to work a little bit harder to work out, what does he mean here when he talks about being weary? And what exactly is he offers us when he speaks about rest? Firstly then, what does he mean when he says being weary? What does it really mean for us to be weary? And crucially here, we've got to understand that for Jesus, there's a clear link between being weary and being burdened. So he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Now, I've got no idea who commissioned this research, but some work's been done investigating who in the world carries the heaviest loads. The American military recommend that no soldier carry more than 15% of his body weight in his backpack. However, the Sherpa mountain guides in Tibet haven't heard of the American military regulations. In a test carried out on a 100-kilometer route with combined ascents of about 8,000 meters, that's, I think, about the equivalent of going up Mount Kembla 16 times, the average Sherpa carries about 95% of his body weight, which is unbelievable. And one guy somehow managed to do that whole route with 183% of his body weight on his back. Just imagine, that means walking up Mount Kembla 16 times with two of you, pretty much, on your own back. Can you imagine the pain you'd be feeling as you got near the top on the 16th ascent? Imagine the absolute exhaustion. I imagine him kind of like head bowed down, like his legs like totally shaking, sweat sort of just pouring off his face. That's what I'd be like. Well, I could never do that, but you know, if I could, I'd be something like that. Carrying a heavy burden is exhausting. And here in Matthew 11, Jesus is talking about a very specific burden. He's talking about the burden of failure. Now today, most people think it's up to us to decide for ourselves what's right and what's wrong. But the people Jesus was speaking to had been given God's law, the Ten Commandments. And for them, that defined objectively what was right and what was wrong. Back in chapter 5 of Mark's Gospel, a little earlier on, in Matthew's Gospel, rather, Jesus has explained exactly and clarified the standard that God required. And it's pretty high. He said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." You see, those Jesus is addressing lived their lives perfectly conscious of the standard the God who made the world requires. The problem was that they couldn't do it. And their failure to do what God required was a massive burden to them. It literally weighed them down. It's the reason why they're weary here. Now, the reality is that not many people today live their lives weighed down by their inability to live up to God's standards. But that's not to say that we're also not burdened by our failures. If we're honest, I expect each of us knows what it feels like to fail to live up to expectation. There are the expectations that others have of us that we fail to meet. Whether that's teachers or bosses, friends or family, husbands or wives. Then there are the expectations that we have of ourselves. That we're going to be a good friend to people. That we're going to do a good job of preparing our children to thrive in the world. Even that we're going to live up to our own moral code. That we're not going to lie or have an affair. That we're not going to cheat or cut corners at work. That we're not going to steal or hurt others. But the sad reality is, all of us fail to live up to even our own standards, don't we? And the thing is, Jesus says these standards, the things that we just know are right and wrong, they're not just random products of our upbringing. Now, they reflect the fact that God has written something of his standards on each of our hearts. It's where the Bible says our conscience comes from. The Ten Commandments might not be a particularly big deal for us, but our conscience makes it perfectly clear, doesn't it, when we haven't honored God. And the truth is, he's rightly angry with us for that. So much so that we now no longer enjoy the intimate relationship we were created to with him. And Jesus warns us very clearly that one day we will be judged. And the truth is, this failure has a far deeper impact on us than we ever normally acknowledge. It burdens us. Ultimately, it's the reason why we feel weary at a very deep level. It means that our hearts are always restless. They were made for a relationship with God that they no longer enjoy. And more than that, failure leaves behind guilt and shame. Now, I know for most of us this is a pretty private and secret thing. Not something we talk about, not something that we think about very often. But even as I'm speaking, I wonder, is there something that you've done that's flooding back to you? A moment when you failed. Something that you would give absolutely anything to be able to go back in time and change. Something that, if you're honest, you're deeply ashamed of. A person you betrayed. A decision that you made in the heat of a moment. A relationship that's now full of bitterness. The reality is, our failures sit pretty heavily on our shoulders. And what we think of as rest is actually just escapism. A space where we kind of put things on hold and reinforce the denial that we try to convince ourselves of every day. But it has absolutely no power to deal with either our restless hearts or our guilt and shame. Just think about it. How could a weekend ever solve our restless heart? How could a two-week holiday ever deal with our deep-seated guilt and shame? Well, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It brings us to our second big question this morning. What exactly then is Jesus offering us? According to one top travel guide, the best hotel in the world this year is the Four Seasons Tented Camp in Thailand. The hotel is made up of 15 luxury tents scattered on 200 rugged acres along the Thai-Burmese border. Each shelter, as they call them, is ultra-private, with extensive decking, unbelievable luxury, indoor rain showers, and a hand-hammered copper bathtub. Apparently, the best thing is that you get to share your holiday with the elephants. One guest said, "The most memorable moments here are spent with the six elephants at river bathing sessions and on treks through the bamboo bush." I'm sure it's lovely. And of course, there's a lavish spa to unwind on after your day of hard work with the elephants. You know what? As we sit here this morning, with a new week, with the start of work beckoning tomorrow morning, I reckon that looks pretty good, doesn't it? The extraordinary news is the rest Jesus offers is far, far better than anything Thailand could ever give you. You see, the rest Jesus is offering is not just a temporary escape that those pictures promise, but the permanent release from our burden. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." Jesus has chosen his words very carefully. He's not just offering the weary something random. No, he's offering the thing that's going to meet our need. He's saying, "Come to me and I'll do what no holiday could ever do. I will take that burden off your back. All your guilt and shame gone forever." It's what the Sherpas experience. They kind of take off that enormous rucksack and then roll their shoulders round at the end of every day. And it's much more than just relief he's offering. Rest in the Bible, it's one of those loaded words. It's a bit like, you all know what you mean when you talk about the vibe of something, but coming from England, I've got absolutely no idea. What you tell me I need to go and do is watch some film called The Castle, then I'll understand. What we need to do this morning is go back to the first half of the Bible, and then we'll understand what rest is, what Jesus is really talking about here. And as you do that, what you find out is that rest is a pretty important concept in the Bible. And it's not just about having a holiday. Rest is about knowing the God who made us while we perfectly and rightly enjoy all of his good gifts. It's what our hearts are so restless for. The place you see it ultimately in the first half of the Bible is in the utterly idyllic Garden of Eden. The paradise world where Adam and Eve lived, where everything was good all the time, and where they enjoyed an intimate relationship with the God who made them. Thailand ain't got nothing on the Garden of Eden. And more than that, the rest Jesus is offering goes on forever. It begins at the moment you come to Jesus, as the burden is lifted off your shoulders. But ultimately, it's something you're only going to taste and see and feel at the very end of time, as Jesus returns to bring in a whole new creation. A place where we're told there's going to be no more crying or mourning or pain, because all those things will have gone. Not an eternity floating on clouds with a harp, but a real physical place where everything will be only ever good, absolutely all the time. "Come to me," says Jesus, "all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." Now, it's such a good offer that I imagine some of us are thinking, it just seems a little bit too good to be true, doesn't it? How can Jesus possibly just offer us this morning? What's happened to all of our failures? Well, even as he says this, Jesus knows that he is heading inextricably to his own death on a cruel Roman cross. There, in the ultimate display of love, he takes our failures, adding them one by one, willingly to his own load, as the great burden is taken from us and placed on him. As he staggered to his own death, it was our failure that was crushing him down, our burden that bowed his head, and ultimately our guilt and shame before God that drove the nails that hung him up to die. The gentle and compassionate Lord Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It's a genuine offer, and it's guaranteed for us by his death on the cross. And he's offering it to each one of us sitting in the room this morning. Come to me, he says, and I will give you rest. Come and put your trust in me. Come and stand with me. Come and follow me, says Jesus, and I will give you this free gift, rest, the ultimate gift, totally for free. Now, of course, genuinely coming to Jesus is going to profoundly change your life. It's clear in verse 29, if you have a look at it with me. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Now, I had to do a bit of research here. A yoke for a city boy is a piece of farming equipment, apparently, nothing to do with eggs. And it goes around the neck of an oxen, connecting it to the cart and allowing the farmer to kind of steer it and direct where it goes. And coming to Jesus means being yoked to him. It means being connected to him such that he now directs life. Jesus says, doesn't he, verse 29, it means learning from him as his word addresses absolutely every area of our lives, agreeing to live his way as he calls the shots. Might be thinking, oh, this is ridiculous. We're just swapping one burden for another. But look at verse 30. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, being yoked to Jesus is not a harsh and crushing burden like that of our failures. No, the wonderful thing you discover as you come to Jesus is that living by the Maker's instructions is actually the best way to live. But as we finish, maybe you're thinking, this invitation can't possibly be for me. I'm not the right kind of person for this sort of thing. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm like. We'll look down to verse 28 again. Jesus says, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden. There's no qualification. There's no restriction. Come to me all who are heavy laden, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. No one this morning is excluded. The offer is open to absolutely everybody. Come to me, says Jesus. It's a personal call to you as you sit here today. Come to me, says Jesus, and I will give you rest. Now, many here today will already have heard this call from the Lord Jesus. They'll have already come to him in a response of faith. And if that's you, then I encourage you to keep coming to Jesus. And amidst all of the busyness and stress of this life, keep looking to him, the one who provides a rest nothing else in this life can offer. And ultimately, fix your gaze on that coming day when he comes back, on the perfect new creation he is going to bring, and you will enjoy forever, where everything is only ever good all the time. Fix your gaze on that day. Others here may be hearing this for the first time. If that's you, then this offer might prompt a whole host of questions, and I'd love to encourage you to ask those questions. The offer is too big and too important just to be left on the sidelines. Come and chat to me afterwards. Talk to a Christian friend you know who's here. We'd love to help you think those things through. But I expect there may well be others here this morning who have heard this offer before. You've watched others take up the offer before. You know what it means to be burdened by your failure. It's just that you've never actually come to Jesus. What if that is you, then can I encourage you to take that step this morning? Today, if you come to Jesus, you'll find rest for your soul no matter who you are or what you've done. As we finish, I'm going to lead us in a prayer, coming to God in the light of all that we've seen. It's a prayer that all those who've already come to Jesus will be praying along with me. It's a prayer I'd encourage you to echo in your own heart for the first time as we pray. It's up on the screen. I'm going to read it to you so it's not a surprise, and then pray it through slowly so you can join with me in your hearts. This is what we're going to pray. Father God, we are sorry that we have failed to live up to your standards and we're burdened by our guilt and shame. We thank you that Jesus came and died so that he could offer us rest. Please help us by your Spirit to take up his yoke and follow him. Will you join with me in prayer? Father God, we are sorry that we have failed to live up to your standards. And we confess that we are burdened by our guilt and shame. We thank you that Jesus came and died so that he could offer us rest. Please help us by your Spirit to take up his yoke and follow him. In Jesus' name, amen.